pay to see Hellboy.
Because you know my wife is not going to want to go see Hellboy. Hellboy. Dad's eating the mic over here.
There's some other good movies coming out. Aliens vs. Predator.
Yes.
Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Spider-Man 2 is coming out.
You're going to get Dan one of those little like things to keep you away from the microphone.
The little foam thingy.
The little spit screen in front of him.
A cage.
When you get the little thing, little styrofoam knobby that goes on top of the microphone, you get them in.
You can get them in all of those nice pastel colors.
You would still eat the microphone.
Yeah, well,
it would be all chewed up.
Give her something to chew on.
Saturated and spit, and it'd be
good evening. Welcome.
And then my daughters would eat
April 7th.
And the dog would throw it up.
Yeah, sure. I remember seeing your little
turn the mics off. Thank you.
And it'd be covered in.
Tonight's show is dedicated to the mini octopi at the Chinese buffet is across the
before
we sign off, we're going to take a short break to play our promo. In the meantime, please join us on the IRC.
Oh,
linuxlink.net and join
Patrick
Tech Show.
Chat.
Pound Tech
Classic
Show. Be right back.
Like Motel Hell and Hell's Have Eyes. Yeah.
Hi, folks.
But anyway. Yeah. Now we end up talking about all those shows. But before we, I get sidetracked.
I wonder if they review my.
I finished the Pitfall.
Or why don't they talk about this? Or maybe I sure would like to support these fellas somehow. Or just how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by putting your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there.
And we're back. And hopefully everything's working right. Bink's got a look on his face. Speaking of that, I'm Dan Washko, be your host tonight, along with Link Fezzanin.
Hey, hey.
And Alan Metzler.
Hey, what's up?
And in the studio tonight, Mark Stanley.
Special guest.
Special ed guest, Mark Stanley, who is putting together a wonderful phone hybrid for us. And hopefully, maybe by next show, we will be able to take phone calls.
That would be cool.
Right now?
It will work.
I'm going to let Alan say hi. And, well, we already let Alan say hi.
Hi, my name is Alan.
Link has everything all confused over here now because he's standing up trying to fiddle with the cord.
I'm trying to figure out where the hum is coming from that we're hearing.
See, Link's doing what I do every other week, sit here and fiddle with stuff and not pay attention. I'd like to say, before we get started, that this past week, I pulled out the first show that we ever did, way back in September. I believe it was September 24th, wasn't it? Anybody?
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
I burned it to an audio CD so my mom could listen to it, because she was interested. And on the way over to my parents' house, I listened to it on my CD player. And I think we've come a long way since then. But the most notable difference, Link, can you guess what it is?
What?
More karaoke mics.
Yeah. Well, no more karaoke mics, for one.
No. I think they actually worked halfway decent to begin with. We just, kind of had the right, wrong setup for it at the time.
Well, I think the biggest thing that was missing in the first couple of shows was the fact that Alan didn't have a microphone.
Oh, definitely.
He was completely out of the picture at that time, just sitting over there, tapping away at his keys and playing around with his desktop. But now
he's playing with something,
And something else.
Your desktop, but that's besides the point.
Is that an improvement?
I think it is. I know we bust on Alan all the time because he's Alan, but I think it's an improvement, and it's good to have a third party involved in the show.
You get you taped for your microphone there, Dan.
Yeah, it's tilting. It's going to fall over into my lap.
Ah. It goes along with the wrestling table here.
Yeah. You know, whack me in the nose with it. But since I just had my little bit to do there about Alan, why don't we let Alan talk about what's on his mind right now? Or who's on his mind,
absolutely,
as the case
nothing
might be.
Who's on my mind? Okay, I just went blank there. I'm sorry. Basically, I didn't do a whole lot in terms of the show, so I don't have a clue for what's going on tonight. Except for some news here, which for all of us who love to get the latest and greatest X11 R6 stuff, there's a new version out. The X.org Foundation just released X11 R6.7 for the X-windowing system.
Woohoo!
Yes, woohoo there. For all those people who like to run Bleeding Edge, and she can rush out and start downloading it. I had something else I was going to say about it, and now I'm completely blank and don't remember, so someone else take over right now.
Alan is completely blank. It's a new disease.
Worse than normal all of a sudden.
It's a new disease. Did anybody even get my email today? Speaking of you two, Dan and Alan, did you guys even get my email today about what we were going to talk about tonight?
Just before I came over.
All right.
It's on the blog.
Is Linux ready for the desktop?
All you said you were going to talk about was some stuff in the news.
Yeah,
and
I have my regular...
The debate on is Linux ready for the desktop.
Yeah, well, I figured we could all get in on that, you know.
Right.
Something good. So, hey, if you're listening, guess what we're going to talk about tonight? The news and maybe is Linux ready for the desktop? But something like that, right?
Right.
Something?
Sounds good to me.
Anybody have anything else you want to add?
I got new toys over the weekend.
Ooh.
Got some sunboxes.
Oh, that's right.
My work was throwing out. I was sort of shocked that our sun guy, came over and asked me, he's like, do you want any junk before I throw it out? And I figured it was going to be junk on it. And a lot of the stuff we were leaving out was junk. You know, it was the old UPSs that hadn't worked in 5 or 6 years to begin with.
Right.
You know, we just didn't have a way of getting rid of them. The dumpster wasn't around on it. But it leads me into the warehouse area on it. And there's a couple of Spark stations. I got two Spark 10s and two Spark 2s.
Really? Got any memory in them kind of thing?
They don't have memory. They all have 64 megs of memory in each.
Ooh.
On it. The Spark 2s are, the NVRAMs are all dead in them.
Of course.
Which, it's considering they haven't probably been on in 10 years, it's to be expected.
Mm-hmm.
So they're probably only good for parts right now.
Well, you can fix the NVRAMs on them.
Well, yeah, you can fix the RAM. Actually, the one Spark 10 is the one I'm really interested in getting working on it, which is excellent. Sorry, it does work. I have Debian on it right now. I'm having a little problem with the hard drive on it because it's a 2-gig drive, but every time I try to partition it using FDisk and Debian, it only wants to see 1 gig. So I have to see what's going on with that. But that's a HyperSpark. So that's got the 100 megahertz processor in it.
Ooh, 180 megahertz, isn't it? HyperSpark?
Well, this is one of the Ross ones. I think it says that it's 100 right now. I could be wrong on that because I'm not real good in reading all the stuff up on it. I'm still searching a lot on the web for it.
Those are cool, and they do, you know, for all you people out there who put down running Linux on older hardware, quote-unquote older hardware, I just want to let you know that a Spark processor will kick the snot out of an x86 processor doing 3 times the speed, and Linux actually runs really, really well.
Unfortunately, the graphic cards are only 8-bit ones. So I've got to go dig up I guess I'm going to have to, like, eBay around and try to get a better graphic card for it.
It depends on what the application. I mean, most people don't grab a Spark 10 and then stick it on their network and expect it to be their next gaming station.
No. It's not going to be a gaming station, but I would like to have a little bit better than 8 bits of graphic.
Right.
Because, you know, I've got a beautiful 19-inch monitor. It's one of those, you know, 500-ton Sun monitors.
So you're
going to
be looking for, like, a CG24 or a
CG9
or something like that.
Yeah, something with a little better graphics behind it, just so I can get more than 8 bits out of it.
And then you have to get the all-important vSIM, too. Right?
Okay. I'm going to have to sit with you and get a list of the things I have to eBay for to get this thing up and running.
I run a couple of Spark 20s at home, and I use them as, you know, I use it as a server. I don't even have a head on them anymore. and I run, you know, I run my mail on it, my intranet web server, and a host of other things, and you just can't kill the thing. You know what I mean?
I opened it up, and it was, you know, 10 years worth of dust came out of it.
Yeah,
you know, but I mean, it ran perfectly quiet. All the fans are running. Everything works on it.
Your little tanks, yeah.
Yeah. So that's my latest project to play around with.
And believe it or not, Dan even has a spark station here. Although, you know, he's been
standing in the
he's been slacking with it there a little bit. Hasn't
Link,
he? Yeah.
When you're talking about triple the speed of an X86, how fast of an X86 are you talking about?
Triple the speed of the spark.
Yeah, but how fast are we?
So, like here's what I'm talking. My Spark 20 at home has 200 and mumble something megs of RAM in it, and it's running on an SM60 processor, which is 60 megahertz, and it will thump any 300 megahertz Intel machine anywhere. You know, because the architecture is. The processor's more responsive to jobs and stuff like that, way, way more than x86. So it handles load like beautifully.
Do you have to compile your own kernel for that?
No way. Just slap the default. You know, if you're going to run Linux on it, run Linux.
The Debian CDs were I shouldn't say CDs because I don't have a CD on it, but I downloaded the two floppies. Pop them in there. It installs an older version of the kernel. The kernel is 2.2.
Right. Well, that's stable, right?
Yeah. Well, it's stable, and it's also, I've always found that whenever you do the floppy install from Debian, you always get an older kernel.
Right.
If you install from the CDs, you get 2.4.
Mm-hmm.
If you install from the floppies, you get 2.2. But it's no big deal to upgrade them because you can just go into either deselect, you can find the package in there, or you can just use apt-get and get it as well. But, you know, it works really nice. I was surprised how easily it went on. I didn't have any of your problems. That's because I probably have a monitor on it, so I didn't have your problems.
Right, right. Well, my problems with mine stopped when I stopped using a terminal that only did VT100 instead of VT102.
Okay.
As soon as I wised up and I stuck, I have a laptop runs NetBSD, and I stuck that on there instead and tipped into it. And then I got, like, the whole color install, you know, ANSI graphic thing, and that was fine. But just don't do it. Like, don't install Debian on a Spark station if the only thing you can do is VT100. Don't do it. Just don't.
It's not a fun time.
Yeah, just don't do it because it doesn't work. You got to have VT02 or VT102 or better, or don't even attempt it, or you know, have a head and a keyboard on the thing, in which case you're fine. But trust me, folks, that's from personal experience.
You don't want to.
Yeah, you just don't. I mean, it'll install and everything, but, like, you put your password in, it'll never work, ever. So. But anyway.
It looks like we're getting some really interesting conversation on the IRC about Desk 3D.
Yeah, that's, I saw that mentioned.
It's a 3D window manager.
Yeah, Desk 3D, I saw that mentioned. Yeah, have you looked into that at all? Dan Allen, something?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
All right. Well, what's it
got? You know, if I was in front of my workstation, I'd probably be compiling it right now. But since Allen's over there,
sorry,
and I have to sit over here.
Huh? Does it run on X?
Yes, it does. But I have an OS 10 over here. I don't have 3D acceleration for X. And you need 3D acceleration, which I do have over there using the NVIDIA drivers. It looks like it wouldn't be that hard, but you have to patch Fluxbox. From what I understand, to get some, I guess, value out of it. Or maybe it's its own window manager. I'm not sure. It's an add-on for a 3D desktop. But I'm not sure if it provides a window manager interface or if it's just something that you use in conjunction with a window manager. And they have a patch on the website for Fluxbox. So what I'm just going based upon what's on the website and what I read about it. It looks pretty interesting. I'm wondering if it would cripple my system, though.
Well,
it would be interesting to look at.
After you compile it later on tonight.
Right, yeah.
Well, remember we had the discussion on the list there a while back on, I guess, Chris Heaver was writing his own window manager, and some of the responses about what we want to see on a desktop. But I was kind of hoping this thing would be a full-blown 3D desktop. Are you looking at screenshots over there?
Yeah, no, I'm looking at the FAQ right now. And apparently it does work with KDE 3, GNOME 2. I'm not sure. I'd actually have to play around with this. There is another one out there. What is it?
That's not what I expected.
What's not what you expected?
Well,
I have the animated GIF up over here.
Yeah.
That Patrick put out on the net earlier.
Yeah, it's showing like three panels that contain three different screenshots, basically.
There is another one out there. What is it? There's one that is complete 3D window manager.
And that's what I'm talking about.
And
I'd like to see.
I was looking at that before.
That's a link.
It was interesting. Did you ever see, what is that? Is it X Planets? No. There's a file manager that it's like cruising through space.
Oh yeah, I've seen. I don't remember what it's called. I saw that a long time ago.
And I can't remember what it's called now either. But the 3D window manager was almost like that kind of interface where you cruise into it and you can move in and out of it. And I'm trying to remember what that. I think it is 3DWM. And there seems to be a lot of them coming up now. As I just do a quick Google search, Task Gallery says it's a 3D window manager. There's Dimension, and it is 3DWM is the one I believe I'm thinking of, but I'm not 100% sure. Link?
Yes.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Not a clue.
No clue at all. I believe it's 3DWM. Ah, 3DWM.org.
Desk in the corner. Used to be.
And as soon as it loads up. Yeah, Link.
What? Who? Huh? Where?
Turn up your volume.
Turn up my volume? Well, I wasn't talking
about the volume.
Who? Huh? Pump up the volume. What? No, I'm not talking in the mic pad. I'm like,
everybody
my own
dance
world.
Now.
Do, 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 do. Do, do. Pump up the volume.
Yeah.
Linky Link and the Metzler Bunch. Alan comes in next week with his pants down around his ankles. Nah, it wasn't supposed to be down that far, Alan.
I don't think I'd be getting that far.
Link crying.
No.
But I don't know if 3DWM is there anymore because I can't get to the page. Can you get to it?
No, I tried earlier. It wasn't coming up.
What do you mean earlier? Like earlier a few minutes ago or earlier today?
A few minutes ago.
All right. Maybe it's my DNS server.
Go to Google
know.
Cache.
It's not coming. Well, I can look here at the Google Cache pages. I think I need to update my root servers. Oh, yeah. Google Cache has nothing.
Cool.
All right, so the 3DWM.org, something to look into as we move into 3D desktops. Patrick says that the 3D desktop one that we've been looking at doesn't take up a lot of system resources.
Right.
What do you mean?
Sure.
On your Athlon system, it doesn't take up a lot of resources.
What you got there, Pat? You got like a 3 gigahertz machine or something like that? Right?
He's going to be our first caller with the review for it.
Yeah, no, it doesn't take up any system resources on my 3 gigahertz machine with 45 gig of RAM, you know?
You know what always cracks me up? And and not to bust the people in the SIG, but this is where you see this the most often with like the people in the SIG when they come in with a 486 and want to install the latest version of Mandrake.
Right.
KDE on it. and it runs like a dog.
It's 486 with 24 megahertz of 24 megs of RAM in it and a 400 megahertz drive. And I want to put Mandrake 9 on it or something like that.
And I want to run this 3D desktop.
Yeah, I'm the 3D desktop dude.
And OpenOffice takes a week to load.
That's funny, man.
Woo, KDE. By the time KDE comes up, it's time to shut the computer down and go to bed.
No kidding. Well, no, that's when they started, man. They just
started. Started
up before they go to bed.
Up in the morning.
In the morning, they can get up and read their email. And
they can click past that initial setup where you get to choose your default theme for KDE.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, you know, I work on my system over here, and it's more than adequate for my needs. But you know, when I fire up KDE, if I ever switch over to KDE on there, you know, it takes a little bit of time to load. But then, you know, when I go over to where we're doing work at DEF CON and fire up KDE on that thing, it's like, phew. So that's an Athlon. I think it's like a 1.2 gig or something.
Yep.
System.
Well, KDE on this, on a faster machine, it's perfectly fine. You can't ever do it on a slower one though. It just does not work real well.
Well,
unless you've got a lot of time and coffee.
Yeah, you
see, yeah, but that's like, you know, for people who are actually computer geeks, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but like I cannot stand waiting for my window manager to do anything. You know, I can't sit there and watch the file, and that's one of the things that really initially turned me off of Mandrake, like around 8-point-something or other.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have the little smiley face dude that would follow your cursor movements around and things, and it would lag, you know. On nice new machines, it would lag around, and it just drove me crazy. And then trying like GNOME or KDE on my machine, which is a 950 megahertz Duron, that lags like noticeably enough. Here's my standard, right? If I open a terminal window,
links,
I want it to open right then.
Mm-hmm.
If you run KDE or GNOME on my computer and you click to open a terminal window, you have to wait like 2 seconds. That is too damn long for me. You know what I mean? That is just too long. I want to click the thing and have it go boop right there, and I can get working.
Well,
I can't
go.
Got
the command line for?
Yeah, that's exactly what they have the command line for. I got to have a little eye candy, you know. A little bit. No, I don't have that one.
Oh, look at Mark going down. Going down. Going down.
You know what? He's facing you under the desk, though, Dan.
Yeah, but he's right next to you.
I see you smiling and everything.
What? Woo!
He's just rubbing my leg, that's all.
Wow, man, look at that. He had to crawl under the desk to plug into my switch when I could have just reached over and plugged it in right over here for him.
Yeah, but Link gave me $20.
Oh, wait a minute. He only gave me $10.
You're cheap date.
Alan's like, and I did it for a Tootsie Roll.
Cheap date.
Got to work on my funds here.
All right, well, I have my stuff set up here. You want to see if we can do this my little news segment thing and see if the... See if this stuff will actually work.
I thought we were just doing the news segment.
Well, you guys were doing like your thing, and I didn't have the stuff ready because.
So now it's the official news segment
It's now the official Link news segment. Okay.
Play your little ditty.
I'm gonna play my.
Waiting. Waiting.
I'm playing it too. Is anybody hearing anything?
Falling asleep.
I don't hear nothing, man.
Boom.
Really? Like nothing. At all. Well, it just stopped too. Some bugger. There it is. It's on the other channel.
Oops.
Now it played so loud I can't hear anything anymore.
And this is the news. Anyway.
See, and I can even like leave it running, kind of sort of in the background, sort of thing. You know, kind of going on. Just. Pretty cool.
Keep it running in the background. Sounds professional.
Does it? So it sounds professional. Hello, and thank you for listening to the Linux Link Tech Show. My name is Lincoln Fessenden, and this is the news for the week. One of the things I forgot to mention last week, which actually I think is kind of important, two of the things really. NetBSD 1.6.2 is out and ready for you to download and use and and have all kinds of fun with.
When are we going to get the free copies?
I don't know. I'm hoping like Wasabi will send us. Wasabi is this really cool sponsor of our lug, and they do NetBSD, and they send us stuff. But they usually send it like a version behind or something like that. But I'm hoping they'll kind of catch up and
the free
send us some
can't
stuff.
Beat it.
Yeah, it still works, right? But, of course, with NetBSD 1.6.2 being out, this brings up the real big news, and that is that I believe they are working very hard now to start the process for releasing, or building anyway, NetBSD 2.0, which a lot of people have been waiting for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And that's some cool stuff. For those of you who are not familiar with NetBSD, NetBSD is a very, very...
Slow?
It's not slow, man. It's a very good version of BSD Unix. Runs on damn near anything.
I was going to say, just about everything.
Yeah, everything from, you know, your kitchen sink to your toaster and everything. And I happen to use it. I like it a lot. It's easy to install and works really, really good. Give it a try. Moving on. Cool tools for remote administration. Over on Linux.com... they have an article that I spied earlier this week about some cool tools for remote Linux administration, one of which that they're... And these guys are talking about GUI administration in this article. And one of which they're speaking of is XNest. If you guys haven't used XNest yet, XNest is a really cool program that lets you open up a virtual X desktop on your X desktop, which you can then... push through broadcast or query or what have you to connect to another machine. And I've been wanting to use this, you know, for something to play with for quite some time, and I found a use for it by pulling it up and doing a query. This is like running an X terminal on your, you know, like a regular X terminal on your X screen. And I pulled this thing up and connected to... I have an HP 9000 server that I was running, and pulled right in and grabbed my CDE login. It was really cool. And if you visit my blog, you would already know that, and you can do so now and see the screenshot of it running. But the other tool that they made mention of is XMeter. And XMeter is like a load. It's a visual load meter that you can use to connect to different boxes and, you know, keep tabs on them as you go along. And if you run these kind of things on your GUI desktop, it makes a nice visual interpretation of what's going on your network and lets you keep track of things. It's a really good article. Check it out. It's over on Linux.com. Of course, I will post all the links on our IRC chat as soon as I get a second to do so. We also have WordPerfect 8 for Linux is coming out. And you guys hear about that yet?
I thought WordPerfect was dead.
That's what I thought too.
They keep trying to bring it back.
That's what I thought.
Isn't WordPerfect 8 like 3 years old?
Yeah,
you
I
don't
can't
know.
Tell you. I know that they
it
had
is.
WordPerfect.
It came out with the original Corel Linux distribution.
Right. Right, and that's, I mean, they're like releasing this again. But I guess this WordPerfect 8 is part of their new office suite kind of thing they got going on.
This one is supposed to be Linux, native Linux.
Right, it's a native Linux release.
Yeah.
And they're working on releasing that, and I will be happy to check it out once they get something up for download.
WordPerfect 2000 was the last release that I'm aware of that came out for Windows. WordPerfect Office 2000.
That's Windows, though, right?
Yeah, but where does WordPerfect 8 fit in with regards to that? And why would I want to pay money for WordPerfect 8? You don't know.
Don't know. It's all.
Well, what kind of newsman are you?
It's a new release of WordPerfect 8. That Corel's putting out. That supposedly is supposed to be pretty neat.
They're going to put out Corel Draw for Linux then too, right?
Could be. You never know.
Wait, didn't that run under Wine?
It did before, but I think this is supposed to be a native version. That might be what the difference is. And then we also have... What else do we have in the news? We have virus alerts reach record levels.
Again?
This is over the last week. Yeah, but this, basically what happened is at itnews.com, they have a story about how virus alerts are currently reaching record levels. And what they have is Trend Micro, okay, has done a poll, and they found out that during quarter one of 2004, they issued 232 virus warnings compared to 35 that were issued in 2003. So we're really, you know, we're really getting hammered this year. And according to Trend Micro, a quote from them says, we're seeing more and more and more viruses, an average of 15 to 25 a day. He says, we're getting a lot of malicious activity, and it is escalating. And this is Mr. Weinstein from Trend Micro. Evidently, their opinion is that a lot of the malicious type code is increasing, and the reason for that is that a lot of these people are now using peer-to-peer networking to share their virus code. Which, you know, I guess that kind of makes sense, but still, my Linux box seems to be pretty secure. How about you guys?
I haven't had any problems with mine.
I haven't had any problems with mine. No.
I had a problem last night.
Well,
that's because my GNUPG key expired, unknown to me. And you know what? I said I created a new one and again set it to expire in a year. So in another year, I'll be scratching my head after I call it in cursing. What the? Yeah.
Maybe we'll remember next time. Japan, China, and South Korea have all gotten together to form a pact. And guess what kind of pact this is, folks? This is a pact.
A pact of evil.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, no, this is a pact of good. They got together and decided that they are going to work together to come up with an alternative computer operating system to reduce their reliance on Microsoft Windows. And the very first operating system that they are considering and looking towards is, of course, Linux. According to the reports, three countries will help their private sectors develop Linux and open source OS that can be copied and modified freely. The agreement was signed in Beijing on Saturday, this last Saturday, by senior government officials from the three countries. And that is a quote from the article. And that, my friends, is pretty cool, at least as far as I'm concerned, right?
Yes.
Anything that, you know, anything that gets Linux into the hands of more people is good. And even though the U.S. is really traditionally, not very interested in switching over to open source technologies.
The rest of the world is interested.
Right. The rest of the world is switching over. So eventually, you know what's going to happen? In order to keep compatibility, we will have to at least follow suit in some capacity so that, we can share our technologies and information with them. Or something like that, right? Pioneer. Big news from Pioneer. Pioneer is introducing a high-precision electron beam recorder. What the heck does that mean? What that means is this. Pioneer is going to use CD/DVD technology. And instead of using a laser beam, they are using precision electron beam, which is going to let them store up to, and get this, folks, 50 gigabyte of information on a single 13-centimeter disk.
Right about now, we need that Homer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That is cool. I cannot wait to get my hands on one of them. Or, excuse me, 12-centimeter disk, it says. 50 gig, and a 12-centimeter
disk. The only
thing
you have to watch out with that is the first time you drop it or bang it and knock the electron beam out of whack.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, they say it's got high track pitch accuracy and high productivity with a load lock chamber, large high density recording capacity, stable electron beam emission with large current by utilizing a thermal field type emitter. And for those of you who don't know what that means, I can't help you.
It's a computer add-on with a 20 kV supply attached to
it. Yeah.
Remember the old days back when they used to use tubes?
Yes.
For stereos and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know how the tubes used to light up inside?
That
electron thermal emitter.
Cool.
You'll be lighting up inside there.
I don't, but you know what?
Now your discs are going to glow.
I really don't care if they use, you know, magical incantations with a chicken. I want one of them things, man. 50 gig on a 12 centimeter disc. I've got to have that.
Yeah, but you know how long your 900 megahertz Athlon is going to take to copy this?
Oh, that was my first. When I read this, I was reading this at work, and I had my buddy sitting next to me, and it was the first comment I made to him is like, do you have any idea how long it takes to read 50 gig of data? You know? Because, like, getting, 80 gig of data on a hard drive is slower than hell, you know? 50 gig on some kind of CD-ROM type device is probably not going to be any better. But
let me
fact remains that you still have. I mean, that allows you to carry a wad of information around with you. That's pretty cool.
Still, let me give you a little bit of an indication on just how long that would take on a big fat HP server, dual processor, 500 megahertz. Though the processor really isn't the limiting factor here. The SCSI RAID array drive subsystem transfers 50 gigabytes in approximately an hour and 40 minutes.
Woohoo!
That's on a heavy-duty server costing $35,000.
That's a lot.
And you wait an hour and 40 minutes to transfer 50 gigs?
Hour and 40 minutes for 50 gigs. Well, you still...
It's an overnight thing.
But still, it's a way for you to carry... think about this for Rob.
It's a way to do your backups.
Right. For companies who have large databases or something that they need to have portable, they can carry them with a product list or...
Oh, hold on. We're talking about...
People that do video editing and stuff like that.
Personal issues of the hacker and the technicians who need to have the technology with them.
Sure.
Who cares about big companies?
Right. Yeah, that's true.
It's only
true.
For me.
That's true. It's for me, too. It's for me, too, and I want one, and that's all there is to that, man. I saw it, and that immediately caught my attention. The next one...
Your donations to...
That's
Link.
Right.
Link's Electron Beam Fund.
Send your donations to the tech show, and we'll just make sure they get funneled in the appropriate account.
Whoever wants a copy of that 50 gigabyte disk, that's call.
That's right. That's right. The next news article I thought caught Dan's attention, although I have not heard him yet complain about it.
Absolutely.
And that is that Linux has released kernel 2.6.5, Dan.
Yeah.
He's he'll look at him. Oh, he's right. Over there, like, staring at his screen, a little drool spittle running down the corner. I personally don't know what the new stuff is in 2.6.5. I was kind of hoping that Dan did, but, you know, that's okay.
With the new stuff, I don't know. I wish I did know, because I compiled it, and I can't get it to work for some reason.
Oh, this was the one you compiled and couldn't get to work on your box.
Ha, 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 ha.
Oh!
Stability. Explain why he's not talking about it.
Yeah, I don't know. Something after it finds my IDE devices and assigns them. To the devices, it just dies. It doesn't do anything after that. Nothing gets reported in a log. So I don't know.
Wow.
I got to start messing around, figuring out what's going on. You know.
Okay.
All that malarkey. Fun. I tried disabling, I thought it might be having something to do with USB, but no. It wasn't the USB.
No?
No.
Well, that sucks.
Because I disabled that, and it's still... So maybe it has something to do with the I2C stuff. I don't know. But it disappoints me. It makes me sad.
That really stinks, man.
Yeah, well, you know. And my problem with the 2.64 with the ALSA drivers, not having the OSS mode working for my sound card, was a bug or two. So I might have to go back to 2.63. That seemed to work fine. Or, I don't know. I just got to play around with it. It takes a significant amount of time to compile the kernel and everything and then reboot and all that happy stuff.
Bummer, man. Oh,
What are you going to do?
I do know that Sun and Microsoft have settled their differences. And I would love to give you all a description of the settlement. However, the Washington Post, which is the only free space that I found that you didn't have to register to read the damn article, has just decided to change their policy and order you to register to read the article. So, basically, this was I think this was a lawsuit involving their son's allegations of antitrust against Microsoft and their use of I think it was their use of Java technology and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, something to do with it, yeah.
And
actually, I think they were suing them because they weren't including Java.
Suing them because they weren't including Sun's Java.
Right.
They were including their own. Anyway, the ruling went down something like this. There's $160 million, I think it was something like $160 million payment to Sun, and Microsoft has to do the right thing, quote unquote, from this point on, and they and Sun are going to work together to ensure that happens.
I think the bill was $1.6 billion.
Okay, $1.6 billion. I was missing a couple zeros. That's all right. It's in there. It's in there somewhere. I really wish I could hit the article for you guys, but evidently, you know, Washington Post on you. Okay. Next thing, and you know, we're getting a little late on this, so I'm trying to whip through them a little bit. SCO is at its little dirtiness again. I found an article on eWeek.com that says, and this article where SCO CEO Daryl McBride is interviewed, and some of the things in here this man says, holy moly. Now, evidently, SCO has given up on saying that Linux, per se, has copied Unix's code that it owns. What it's saying is that Linux is like a knockoff kind of thing, and by default, from Linux working like Unix, they have some Unix-y code that they have the copyright to in there. Uh-huh. It's not like they don't have a direct... They're not saying that we have a direct copyright violation now. They're saying it's an indirect copyright violation because it's like the stuff that they have in there.
Like, but not quite.
Yeah, it's, you know, sort of, kind of, almost like that, but not really.
Yeah, you know, like it requires a keyboard to operate.
Yeah, exactly. It requires a keyboard to operate. It's just some really... And let me see if I can find the quote real quick. This is some funny stuff, man. Okay, McBride says this, and I quote, "A lot of code that you'll be seeing coming on in these copyright cases is not going to be line-by-line code. It will be more along the lines of non-literal copying." What the hell is that? Non-literal copying, which has more to do with infringement. This has more to do with sequence organization, which is copyright protectable. It's interesting when you go down this path that everyone wants to go to the exact lines of code, but in most copyright cases, in most copyright cases, McBride says, are not line-by-line exact copies.
Which is what they were saying all along before.
Yeah, whose butt is he pulling that out of, man?
Well, what he said there now is your kernel does the same thing as our kernel does, so therefore you're infringing on us.
Yeah, regardless of what the code actually does in there, just because it sort of does the same kind of thing and it might have that feel to it, well, that's infringement now.
Well, so, an additional on that, it was their motion to dismiss Red Hat's complaint was denied as well.
Yes, it was. And that is a cool thing, too. I'm glad that happened. So SCO's getting stuck that way, but I really hope a judge in an eventuality soon is going to, you know, just have to start telling them that, you know, they're full of crap. I keep waiting for it to happen. It's got to happen soon because the stuff that they're doing anymore is just ridiculous. www.pdalive.com has a really great article. The article is about the Sharp Zaris SL6000L. This is the brand new Sharp that they are finally releasing, the Sharp Zaurus. They're finally releasing in the United States. They previously have had it released in Japan, I guess. Handheld is now available for $699.99 from Amazon.com, my listing says. This is, and I quote,
I have the money for it, but it sounds good.
It's beautiful, man. I quote the article, the SL6000L is an English version of the device that has integrated Wi-Fi only. However, the Japanese one is available in either dual networking Wi-Fi and Bluetooth or networking less versions. Like, you know, Wi-Fi only would hurt my feelings. That's fine with me. The new Zaurus has a 4-inch 480 by 640 CG silicon reflective screen. And this is pretty, folks. That is much larger than the one in the 50-something hundred models.
5,500.
Well, this is 5X100, so I'm guessing 52, 53. The screen supports rotation on the fly, portrait and landscape modes. Sharp has also incorporated a sliding thumb keyboard into this model. This is the king of slick, man, and I want one of these in the worst way. But do you think I'm going to be able to afford one?
No.
It's on my Christmas list, though, so, you know, any of you really great supporters of the tech show, by all means.
Maybe
send it right
you
now.
Start crawling underneath the link.
Yeah. And then I wanted to, last but not least, I wanted to make quick reference to some geek movies before we move along, since we are truly running out of time this week. Geek movies, Star Wars DVD trilogy, Lucas commentary has been leaked. 4 segments of the Lucas commentary from the Star Wars DVD trilogy that will be coming out soon have been leaked to the internet. If you Google around, you can find them real quick or hit our chat log, and I'll make sure the link gets in there for you. Some interesting stuff. Like I said, it's commentary by the Lucas man himself about Star Wars. Really cool stuff. Starship Troopers 2. Is using Linux technology. Starship Troopers is, of course, a cool sci-fi kind of movie that came out, and they're working on another one, Starship Troopers 2. They are using, on this movie, the Rave hard drive, which is a hybrid video digital disc recorder, which, of course, is based on Linux and built around open source and Unix design principles. 2 years in development, it targets the post-production and visual effects industries and has been used in the production of major movies. Rave hard drive, or Rave HD, excuse me, is available as a PC-based system, embedded system, or as commercial software. This is cool stuff. Not only do we know that, you know, Linux is indeed being used heavily now by several companies in the production of new and wonderful movies with great CGI going on in there, but, you know, I just completely lost my train of thought. You know that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's catching.
Phew, it was just gone. I had it there a second. They're using Linux. Oh, okay, I remember. Not only is Linux being used in these new movies, which I find cool, but we also know that through the article that they're working on Starship Troopers 2, which I thought was a good thing, too. I like the first movie. I can't wait to see the second one. Next, but almost last but not least, is Matrix Revolutions is out. Everybody pick up your copy. I finally completed my Matrix DVD set just the other day. Tuesday it was released. And picked up the last one, watched. I love the Matrix series. If you're a techie guy and you haven't seen them yet, man, you're really missing out. Go pick it up. And last but not least, and Dan can attest to this, Hellboy is out in theaters and is a really good watch. For those of you who would like to have a quickie tech show type of review, please visit Dan's blog, which you will find, of course, at thelinuxlink.net/blog, where he gives you the lowdown of it.
Is that all he does is type on his blog the whole time?
He's typing on his blog the whole time.
No, I'm messing around with my root cache.
And my name is Lincoln Fessenden, and that is the news.
That was Link's news. That was the whole damn show.
Shut up, man.
Do we want to take a break?
Nobody asked you. Yes, we do need to take a break. I have a song to play for you guys again tonight from our friends at X11 again. This song is called I. Aye. Aye. Something, something. Aye.
You are listening to the Linux Wing Tech Show.
Forget me, I can't do anything right. I know the thing, but I won't think tonight. I'm my own worst enemy. You can't do anything with me. You can't keep checking your sanity, and no one can even help me. So I turn off the news, I turn off the light, I'm in the night. Oh, I get so tired. Yeah, I get so tired. And I do. And I do. Do you spend your life on this? Doubt is up behind me, and I feel the call is around me. So I turn up to you, I turn up the light, welcome to night. Oh, I get so tired. Yeah, I get so tired. Life is, life is.
Thought you were going to have to listen to that again, didn't you? Me too. What we did forget, though, is Dan's little promo, of course, and here it is.
Hey, hey, Dan cutting in here. Do you have any questions, comments, complaints? Don't like what Alan said last time? Feel free to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. Do you live in or around Bethlehem, Pennsylvania? Plan on being in the area some Wednesday night? If so, and you would like to join us in the studio, we would love to have you. Again, email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. Linux is a community project. Being a community project, it tends to foster regular gatherings of Linux enthusiasts who collectively call themselves Linux users groups. Chances are, there is a Linux users group in your area. We here at the Tech Show belong to the Lehigh Valley Linux users group, so if you hail from the area, come join us. Membership is free and fraught with fun. If you're new to Linux, then hey, Dan cutting in here. Do you have any questions, comments, complaints? Don't like what Alan said last? Close to the east, there's the New Jersey Linux Users Group. More information can be found at thelinuxlink.net, which strives to be the unofficial portal to Linux and Linux happenings in the Lehigh Valley.
Yeah, a little technical difficulties in there. Me, fat finger, and the keyboard again. Here we go.
Near any Linux users group, get your name and desires out there on the web. Contact the closest lugs, and chances are you will find neighbors who are looking to get together. All you need is a few enthusiastic people and a place to meet, be it a living room, basement, library, or local pub. You will meet new people, learn some stuff, and have boatloads of fun. So remember, support your local users groups. Finally, we here at the Linux Link Tech Show thank you for listening and hope you enjoy this episode as much as we enjoyed putting it together. Go ahead and kick off with your booty doody doo. I'm working on something for the show.
Yeah, he's working on something. Dan's like, yeah, just go ahead and, you know, just fake it or something. He's working on checking out that three. What is the name of that thing again?
3D desk.
3D desk, which looks kind of cool for what it does, I imagine. I'm sure Dan will have a better review in a moment since he's already got it compiled and running over there. Oh, boy. We were going to do a thing. Well, I thought we were going to do a thing where we talked about, you know, why Linux is ready for the desktop. You know, where, why, and when kind of thing. But we really are... We're really hitting short on time this time, so I don't know. Maybe we just...
I think we should probably push it off till next week.
Yeah, to push it off till next week. I'm looking here. It looks like we got 2.5 minutes left of our allotted normal show time. Not that we don't always run over that, but still. That puts us right about the end of the thing. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to add?
Yeah, I'll be adding something in just a minute.
Yeah, well, besides Dan, who's going to add his personal impression of the 3D desktop, which does look kind of cool. But, you know, I guess it depends on what you think of it. Dan's got to have
a 3D window
man. No, it's more like a...
Your desktop's floating in
3D. Yeah, it looks like a 3D floating desktop kind of doohickey thingy. Anyway.
Alright, my damn impressions of 3D desk. First off, the source files were 156 kilobytes, so it was a fast download. Compilation on my machine, AMD K63-400 with 300 and I think, what, 62 megs of RAM? Something like that, 352, I forget.
Pat wants to know if it sucks up all the CPU.
Took about 5 minutes. No, it doesn't. Basically, it's eye candy is what it is.
Right.
It was simple to set up once you actually read the README. And Alan, if you actually want to hit Control 3 on my keyboard, it'll fire it up. I'm running Window Manager, so I bound a keystroke, Control F3, and it shows all your virtual desktops, allows you to scroll through them. It is a 3D representation. I'll say it's a bunch of flat screens in a 3D representation. It looks pretty neat. Like I say, they circle through.
Enter to get to a screen?
Yeah, just press Enter to get to a screen. There's other keystrokes, but I haven't read the entire README yet to play around with it. It looks really neat. It's something that, you know, it will amaze your Windows friends. And probably your Mac OS, you know, your OS 10 friends.
You know what that reminds me of, though?
Huh.
You remember I said, was it like last week or the week before, we were talking about Sun's new desktop that they got going on?
Okay.
The new desktop that they're doing?
Yeah, where we can turn the Windows.
The camera starts with a P or something. I can't remember what it is. The one that's in development now. That's the same kind of virtual 3D desktop kind of stuff they got going on there. Looks a lot like that, where, you know, you can rotate the screens around and send them to the background. That's pretty cool stuff, man.
Yeah, it is neat, but, you know, to put it in perspective, that's all it does. It'll circle around your screens. It looks nice, but you can't really do anything.
Not much functionality to it.
No, other than, you know, oh, look at this. This is pretty cool. But still, it's really neat. It's something, you know. Something pretty neat.
Something you can tell your Windows buddies, hey, but can you do this?
Yeah.
There you go.
So definitely something worth checking out. And that was what, www.3ddesk.sourceforge.net.
Yeah, what he said.
Really? And you'll be able to see it on our chat logs because Patrick DeVille was kind enough two.
Speaking of chat logs, man, where the heck is everybody the last couple of shows here? We don't have any of our normal, like Paladin and stuff. There, none of these people are on here. You guys are slacking. If you're listening to the show afterwards, I think you're slacking and you need to be back on IRC with us so we have people to talk to. Not that Mark and Patrick aren't people to talk to. Don't go getting all offended on me or nothing.
Patrick aside, we need more people that aren't in this room.
Yeah, right. Limit the people in this room. Like, we have, like, 12 people in this closet today or something. But
So we can thank Patrick for turning us on to the 3D desk tonight.
Yes, thank you, Patrick, for
desk
turning
3D.
Us on.
Sorry, desk 3D. And, yeah, thank you for turning Link on.
Now.
There's something wet and cold under the desk.
It's not me, man.
I think it's an ice cube. That's the thing, when you have little kids, when you feel something wet, it's just, you don't want to know. You don't look anymore.
No, I just wear shoes around the house, man. Never take my shoes off
what
the house.
What did you just say? I started playing with QDVD author. What is that?
It is a DVD authoring program, I believe, using QT.
QT, yeah.
Maybe? I don't know.
QT, not QT. No, it's QDVD author.
Maybe. I don't know. Speaking of that, I tried using a K3B for burning CDs. I should have compiled it myself, because I grabbed the one off of Linux packages. It didn't work for me.
Oh.
But you know what? CD Record worked without a problem.
Oh, yeah, man. CD Record is a great app.
I fired up XCD Roast one day, because I was figuring, well, maybe I could just use this to burn some audio stuff onto a CD. And after I putzed around with that for a half an hour, CD Record worked fine, you know? I was like, I didn't even need to bother with it. I don't know. That's my impression is CD Record works fine.
Yeah.
It works great. And I've been doing a Tappy
works
burning.
Every time I use it.
Even though it hems and haws and throws out all these warnings that it, you know, whoa, it might change the, you know, reverse the revolution of the earth if you try and burn with a Tappy. It works great. It's just as fast.
Oh, I'm lazy, so I use K3B.
Caution, Earth's core now stopping.
And that's why we're throwing you out of here tonight, Alan, because you use K3B.
Yeah, man.
You know what? We'll badger him enough, and then next week he'll come in and say, I was using CD Record all week.
Yeah, that's right. Just like the Slackware thing, man. He finally caved in and put Slackware on his laptop, and he's been happy ever since, I might add, right?
I've been happy, yes.
See, there you go.
I was going to put it on anyway.
He's either happy or
Yeah. I wasn't going to give it the peer pressure. I was going to do it anyway. That was my...
But we are, you know, we got four guys in this room right now, and all four of us are running Slackware, which is really cool. That's like a testament to it, you know?
And Patrick, I think. Is Patrick still running Slackware?
I think he's back to Slackware, but he went and, you know, he
Gen
went
two.
And did that popularity roam around. He had Gentoo and he had Debian and he had, you know, this and that, and now he's back to Slack like the good boys, right?
You always come back.
That's right. Once you go Slack, you never go back, baby. That's all there is to it.
I have a.
Yeah.
I have a SUSE machine at work and. And I've been saying I should just throw Slack on it because it just runs. I like Slack a whole lot better. Because every time I need to go do something, it's like, well, if I want to compile something, then I got to figure out what dependencies I need.
Right.
And do I want to compile those or I want to try and get them from the RPM? You know, and then I go to SUSE's site to FTP them down. And then I got to worry about the RPM dependencies and then this and that. And I mean, it hasn't been too much of a bear, but... Usually I just go and grab what I need and download the source and compile it and install it. Now it's like I'm in that mismatch of RPM and
you know what I find interesting about
source.
About Slack, though?
And Miasma. I'll
give you two really,
you
really
tell us,
quick
man.
Things about Slack that I like.
You go.
One of them is that every other distribution of Linux has patches for programs that they want you to apply to programs in order to put them on there. You know what I mean? Not just kernel patches, But patches for programs like Debian and Pine. Pine has got this wicked list of patches that Debian wants to put on it.
That's the patch to make it free software, right?
Yeah, right, something like that. They have patches on the programs and patches on the kernel in order to bring it up to Red Hat specs or to, you know, Debian specs or whatever. Slackware doesn't do that. Slackware looks around the net and says, all right, is this such and such a package stable and considered stable by the author, right? The author says it's stable. Patrick says, yep, okay, we can put it in there. No modifications, none of this rigmarole bullcrap that you have to go through with other people. He just puts it in there and you can use it. Another thing I like about Slackware is Slackware is maintained by Patrick Volkerding, and he is not a, and I'm going to say the word, and everybody's going to get all offended, but he is not a software Nazi. And if you have used Debian, you know what I'm talking about. Use Debian and try and install Pine on that thing, man. Even after you go through all of that rigmarole saying, I want to be able to install everything, and they ask you like four times, man, you sure you want to install everything? Some of the licenses may conflict with Debian. Do you sure? Or Debian, do you sure you want to install it? Yeah, I want to install everything. And then you go try and install Pine. It says, no, we will not install it because it does not match our licensing scheme. That's really annoying, guys. You should fix that. Anybody that's working for Debian right now.
How dare you malign the Debian people?
They'll
come after us.
I'm running Debian on two systems at home, on both of my Spark stations, and I like it. I like it. It runs, man. You do that like minimal install. It's like under 130 megs.
Yeah, the stock install I was coming in was like 111 megs.
Yeah, it's well in under 130 megs, and once you finally go through the fight and do the Debian or do the Pine install, like I really want a Pine on this thing, so I had to do the whole bear fight thing, get the Pine on there. Once I got it on there, I really dig that system. It just works. It works good, and there's no cruft on it. That's great for me. So don't get me like I hate Debian, because I don't. I use it at home myself. I hate their software license business that they got going on. I think that's really stupid way to do things. My personal opinion, anyway. I would like to be able to just say like apt-get install Pine, and have it go get it. Not have it, give me this broadcast four pages full of messages about how the University of Washington is some kind of evil dictator and blah, 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 and because they have some kind of weird license on their software. And not only do you have to, download the source, but you have to patch it with four Debian patches before they'll let you do it and blah, blah. And I don't want to hear that, man. I just want to apt-get install Pine and be done.
You just want to install Pine.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm sure that there are other software out there like this. I know that Debian has a problem now with X-Free, right? Or with X11. X11 is coming out. They got a new license. It's not GPL anymore.
Pine.
So,
Right.
It's not GPL compatible, okay? So Debian and Gentoo, and there's a couple other distributions that I forget, have said, like, this is the last time we're going to include X11, any version beyond the one that's compatible with GPL. That's freaking stupid, man. It's X. You need X to run on your computer. Live with it, I don't want to fork off and get X from somewhere else. I just want X, I think it really comes down to being too petty about it or something. But anyway, I'm done with my rant for the week. Anybody else have any?
What's interesting is I can apt-get Pine on my OS X box.
Yeah, but you're not running Debian.
But apt-get...
So they don't care about Fink, your stupid license
Fink,
things, man.
Fink is working with the Debian crowd.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken. But Pine... Yeah, well... Whatever.
The interesting thing about that is I remember...
Back in the day.
OS X was released, this is some time after OS X was released, I saw a message, I think on Slashdot or something. Someone was talking about how cool this... This is so cool, man. Check this out. I can use Pine on my OS X machine. And I'm thinking, and they're like, this is the coolest thing since sliced bread kind of thing. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, this guy spent $3,000 on a computer, $200 on an operating system and waited a year so that he could run Pine. Like, I've been doing that forever, you know? And it's the same Pine. It's the same damn thing, man. So that was, you know, that's part of my bias against OS X, I guess. I mean, I like OS X, and it's some cool stuff, but, man, it is not Linux, which I have grown to know and love.
You should go to those vendor Apple seminar things that I end up going to sometimes. They go gaga. They're like, well, you're going to run Squirrel Mail now on your server. And, you know,
woo!
Use,
oh my goodness.
Safari's built off of the KHTML.
One thing on a Mac at a time, anyway.
What's that?
Basically, before OS X, you couldn't do all those things on a Mac anyway.
Right, so no, you could.
These people are ecstatic because they're Mac addicts to begin with.
You all got to admit, I mean, come on. Now, compared to Mac, you know, OS 9 and all that stuff, you have jumped on an OS X, and the first thing you do is drop to the terminal, right?
Yes, the first time I saw OS X, that was the first thing I did.
Why did you go there? Because you know the command line, you know it's running some Unix variant, and so if you have to choose a Mac, which one are you going to choose? You're going to choose OS X or higher, right?
Well, yeah, definitely. Now, not Link, though, because he runs OS 7. Well, I want to choose Yellow Dog.
Yeah, that's my point exactly. Like, I don't have to go out and spend $200 in order to get to a command prompt on a Mac because I put Yellow Dog on it. And you know what? Yellow Dog has always run Pine. Woo! And it runs Mutt and everything else, too. And you don't need to... you don't need to wait a year for the release of the Linux software you want to run on OS X. You don't have to wait that year for the release because you can actually run Linux on your Mac and run it now.
Oh yeah.
You don't have to wait for that software to be released on OS X. Just run Linux on it and you know.
Well, I did see. I think it was on Slashdot today. Was Abby Word is now for OS X as well.
Wow,
there's a copy of that.
That's really cool. And like 2 years ago, on my on my 8600 200, I was running Abby Word on. I was running Abby Word on that thing under Yellow Dog.
Yeah, but when GIMP 2 was officially released, it came out on OS X too, and I have it on here.
Well, that's all right. You got but one.
OpenOffice 1.1 has still not been released
Dan's
for OS X.
Got one. Yeah, that's it.
I mean, I have a release candidate. A release candidate that doesn't export to Flash that well, but yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. I think OS X is a pretty operating system.
When I sit there and there's an XP machine on my left and an XP machine on my right, and there's an OS X in front of me, I'm glad to have that OS X of anything.
Oh,
and then there's a Linux box behind me, but
yeah. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I like Linux.
One
so.
Good thing about most of these other computers is you can run an X client on them and access your Linux box.
Oh, yeah, you can. You can do all sorts of stuff. Not on a Windows machine, though.
Yeah, but, why run an X client on it? Why not just run X on it?
Like we're live with you.
Well, yeah, but I mean, then you're running Linux. I mean, I guess you can use SigWin, but that's a pretty large install. And I guess there's...
It doesn't work very well either.
Other than using SigWin, you're stuck with commercial X servers for X. And then...
Nopix disk.
Yeah, that's it.
Nopix
or
right
Slack
there,
Live. Or that... what's that other one? That you can build your own live disk based off of Slack? Slacks, yeah.
Slacks.
The scripts to do that. Still want to do that. I need to get another machine. The Frankenstein laptop.
Well, guys, we're quarter after.
No doubt.
Yeah, I think we're about hung it up for the night. Yes, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark, for coming out today with the hybrid. And we look forward to getting that working.
No, fix it!
You have the technology.
Be prepared,
it better.
We have the technology. We just need some more cables, man.
Patrick shot out of there.
Like
Mark left too already.
Everybody's
peeling
out of the chap room. Like,
we just
like,
saying we're
going to
be wrapping it up. Usually, when we say we're wrapping up, we might be going for another 15
minutes.
<right. laughs> Everybody's gone now. I guess we got to take the hint.
Oh man! All right. Well, like the thing says.
You.
That was.
You are listening to the Linux Link Tech Show.
Bump and grind.
Oh, no. Check it out. Listen to it, man. You are listening to the Linux Link Tech Show.
I like that. That's pretty neat.
And this has been. April 7th. Do we even know how many we've done at this point? I haven't even kept track.
64.
No way.
No.
Just we count. Been going
go
over
to the archives and count.
Yeah, but I haven't got them up there.
That's why we have Alan here.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, you know what? Send Chris H. to do it.
Sure.
Tell him to count them up. He'll come with some freaky equation that'll output it in the monetary equivalent in Middle Earth.
Yeah. Some kind of something going on anyway, right? All right, folks. Well, this has been the April 7th edition of the Linux Link Tech Show. Make sure you come back next week. And visit us next Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm Link.
Dan.
Alan. Thanks for listening.
And that's Mark. And thanks for listening to the Linux Link Tech Show.
Die, Alan. Die.
No, we got it. We got to play
Die,
music.
Alan. Die, Link. Loser. Die, Link.
Loser.
Alan. Linux Link Tech Show. Linux Link Tech Show.